This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? Red Nation Hoops Podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Red Nation Hoops on Twitter. Here, joined by co-host Forrest Walker at Do Nots on Twitter. How you doing, man?
Hey, not bad.
So, just a disclaimer before we start the pod, we're kind of running out of things to talk about because the Rockets are really, really good, and it makes it really difficult to talk about a team that's damn good. You know, we kind of ran into this problem last year, but we worked through it because it was a new team. Like, there was a lot of new parts. We're still trying to figure this team out, but I feel like we have like 80% of this team figured out. Like at this point, I know Chris Paul just came back, but I don't think that it's going to change the way this team plays that much. And it's going to make it a lot harder to talk about going forward.
Yeah, that's not wrong. I mean, I think there will be some changes, and we'll get a more full view of how this team's going to look with Chris Paul in there. But yeah, if, for example, in the scenario where it's pretty much the same as it is now, if we keep seeing games look similar to these games, yeah, it's good and bad. And by that, I mean it's really good, except for a little bit boring, maybe.
Right. God, imagine what it'd be like to be like the Warriors podcast. Like, they're probably, like, running out of stuff to talk about till May. I mean, but yeah, nonetheless, we do have some stuff to talk about. And to get more of a flow to the podcast, we're going to ask you guys to email us in questions, rednationhoops@gmail.com. Email questions in, and we'll answer them on the podcast for mailbag, because we're going to bring in more regular guests just to keep it going. Like, but... I just felt like I wanted to be honest with you guys. We are running out of stuff to talk about because this team is really, really good, and it feels like we know what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, you know how they say it. Sometimes NBA teams just want to get through the regular season to get to the playoffs, which are the real season. I think we're kind of seeing that a little bit. That with this team, it's that good. With a team that's just looking forward to the playoffs, we're like the team just looking forward to the playoffs and not really worrying too much about that. The regular season, once right. We know how good they are, the rest of the thing.
Right, and the thing is, we will have stuff to talk about because this team is still very interesting, and stuff will come up. You know, injuries happen, which we don't want that to happen, but inevitably through the course of an 82-game season, someone's going to tweak their ankle or something, and that'll make stuff interesting. You know, like, and we're going to go through a tougher stretch of the schedule, which will become, you know, very interesting to talk about where they face a real legitimate Western Conference playoff teams. But right now, I mean, it's been kind of a cakewalk for the Rockets. They've been cruising. But let's go ahead and talk about the first game of the week in Toronto. This was kind of a bad loss.
Yeah, it was the worst loss they've had this season, I think.
Right. In their defense, like, it was 3 games in 4 nights. Even with that being said, it was still bad. The defense was atrocious. Offensively, they looked like they were dragging their feet in mud, and I think you talked about this on your recap. It was just, like, overall, like, and people were complaining about the officiating, and I'm just kind of like, you know, like, when you're playing bad, like, I don't really like the officiating complaints. Like, when you're playing well, and you know, the game goes down to the wire, and an official makes a mistake, that's, you know, that might be a time to complain about officiating. But this game was, like, There were a lot of things that the Rockets could have done to prevent themselves from being in that situation.
Yeah, they had the choice not to be in that situation. Well, maybe not choice, but if they had played like they normally do, they wouldn't have been in that situation. The only question is, was that possible for them to have played that well or not?
Right. Defensively, they looked bad. And I think a lot of this was because they were tired and it was 3 games in 4 nights. But at the same time, like, you got to have better effort than that if you want to be a legitimate championship contender. They were shooting 41% from the field and 30% from the three-point line. Yeah, they did not shoot the ball well in this game. And they got to the free throw line plenty. It was just a matter of, like, they were just bad, man. Like there was no other way to put this other than they were bad. And Toronto was good. Toronto's kind of on a roll right now. And the Rockets kind of caught them at a bad time. But they got to the free throw line at will. They played no defense in the paint. Their rim protection was really bad. Clint wasn't really good in this game. It wasn't a great game.
No, it certainly wasn't. I mean, I sort of talk about this, but I think that they were always going to have a game like this. They've been kind of playing with fire with how much they were playing James Harden and Trevor Ariza, a couple other players. They just been doing too much. They didn't have much of a choice because without Chris Paul there, they all had to kind of compensate, play not only more, but also play outside the roles a little bit to make sure the offense kept flowing. It was always going to happen sooner or later, and it's not surprising that it happened toward the end of that run that without Chris Paul, that they just eventually didn't have it. They played a good team. Toronto is a legitimately actually good team in this league, one of like 7 teams. So it's not really a shameful loss, really, because there's a lot of reasons why that went on. And I think there's a lot of reason to believe that if they played the Raptors again tomorrow, say, you would not see the same result at all. But it was certainly embarrassing at the time, and it was by far the ugliest loss they've had this year.
Right. They won 6 games in a row going into that game. The minutes were starting to add up, and I felt like that was a big issue for this game. James Harden did not shoot the ball well. He got to the free throw line plenty, which kind of made up for that. But overall, from the field, he was 8 for 25, 3 from 11 from 3. He got to the free throw line 19 times, which kind of made up for it, and he scored 38 points. And he got 11 assists. I mean, like, he still played well enough to where his shooting didn't really impact it, but still, not the best Harden game. Eric Gordon shot 3 for 12 from the field, 0 for 7 from the three-point line. Ryan Anderson did not play like Ryan Anderson, 2 for 6 from three-point line. Clint Capella had a double-double, but his rim protection was awful, as I said earlier. Yeah, bad loss. The Rockets will go look past.
I think you can always tell when the strain is getting to James Harden, especially, and you can see how his defense is going. Because he conserves energy on defense first. If he's really right. destroyed, his whole game falls apart. But that's anybody who's totally out of juice like he was at the end of the last playoffs will do that. But yeah, if you see his defense falling off, like he's just giving less effort there, that's a telltale sign that he's just exhausted mostly. So yeah, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah,
it's a different team now.
Next game in Phoenix. This game was kind of ridiculous. The Rockets' offense was just completely ludicrous. 90 points in the first half. God, that was an NBA record. Like, they were third most points scored in a half. The last time any team scored more was in the 90s, against the Denver Nuggets. I think it might have been the Phoenix Suns that did this. I think it was. And the Rockets came close to breaking it, but their offense was completely ridiculous. Chris Paul came back. And he looked good. He was on a minutes restriction for 20 minutes per game. 11 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. He looked completely comfortable out there. Obviously, he's still got to get his wind back, and that's probably the main reason for his minutes restriction. James Harden was spectacular. 48 points, 22 shots, and 7 assists. I think he had 3 steals too. It was ridiculous game from James Harden.
Yeah, that was an intense game. I mean, if you were asking for what's the best possible way that the game could turn out, it'd be pretty similar to that. The offense looked absolutely unstoppable, and it was absolutely relentless. The only reason that they didn't score more points is because there was no reason to score more points later on. The second half, they scored way less, and they still scored 30 in the third quarter, and that was a disappointment. So
Right.
The offense was definitely clicking with Chris Paul up there. You would find no reasons to worry about the team adjusting to Chris Paul from that game.
And I guess to play devil's advocate, their defense was bad. They had like a 110 defensive rating in that game, which is not good. At the same time, if you're scoring 90 points and a half, man, the defense doesn't even matter. Like it's so crippling to the other team. And the other team was like, the Phoenix was just struggling to keep up. It was just too much. It's just too much. When the Rockets are playing like that offensively, there's only one team in the league that can catch up.
Yep. that's the plan. As long as you get that margin, it doesn't matter which end you get the margin from.
Right. It was a good win. Not the best win of the week. The best win of the week was definitely in Memphis. This was a high quality win. The pace was slow. Memphis in large part dictated the pace. The defense started off sloppy, but they really really tightened up in the second half, particularly that third quarter. I think they allowed like less than 20 points in that third quarter, which is really really good. Chris Paul looked great. 17 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. Great win for the Rockets, honestly.
Yeah, it was some pretty sweet revenge against a team that had the indignity to beat them 2 times in one season.
Right, and you know what was great about that win? Chris Paul destroyed the Grizzlies' second unit. I mean, how unfair is it that when you've successfully defended James Harden for how well you can successfully defend him, and he goes to the bench and Chris Paul checks in the game. Like, how ridiculous is that? Like I tweeted about this. I would be furious if I was an opposing team and I'd see James Harden checking out of the game. And that's usually when you can catch up, right? That's usually when the star goes out of the game. That's what usually when you can start your run. But Chris Paul checks in and keeps that lead. Well, Kyle's on top of that lead.
Yeah, and consider the following, right? They have a kind of a weird rotation too, where Chris Paul and James Harden swap offs don't exactly follow like the typical bench unit in and out that NBA teams do. So there's a very real chance that you're asking your bench units, you know, you're like usually what, like the fourth best guy tends to be the best guy on the court at that time, because teams usually have like an 8 or 9 guy rotation. So you're looking at like guys number 4 through 9 or so, and asking them to not only be able to guard a James Harden run offense, but also to know how to guard a Chris Paul run offense at the same time. That's asking so much of bench units, and they're going to do this to so many teams who just are not going to have the wherewithal to make up for it. Like, they're going to extend leads with their bench, and that's huge in this league, especially in the regular season.
Right, like, again, like, when James Harden goes to the bench, the offense was really bad for the first 17 games or so, and when Chris Paul came back, like, that offensive rating when Harden sits, it's not going to drop off that much, man, because you have one of the greatest point guards of all time conducting it, and you have a spread floor, you have a big man that's willing to roll to the basket, and he just looked so comfortable out there, man. Like, Chris Paul, like, I'm surprised how quickly they've clicked, man. Like,
yeah.
Harden and Paul found each other for open threes. They looked like they were comfortable playing off the basketball, and they looked like they were fine together. And obviously, like, I don't want to say that they're already, you know, 100% simpatico, but it'll take some time to get there. But I mean, they look pretty good, man. Like, already, yeah. They look pretty decent.
Yeah, they look like they're ahead of what everyone assumed the schedule was going to be. Obviously, we don't know what their internal schedule is, if they thought it would be this good at this point or not, but the predictions of everybody else were, you know, not quite sure how it would look right away, and they look fine. Like you said, the offense is clicking. Chris Paul looks like he is adjusting to fit in with that system. Like, he's still playing in his Chris Paul probing kind of way, but he's shooting a lot more threes. You know, he's letting James Harden take more of the reins. He looks like he's doing all the things that he said he was going to do. And as long as that keeps up, this is going to be a deadly team.
Right. And I want to ask you about this, because it's something that I've heard people brought up, and I kind of agree with the sentiment. The fact that Chris Paul was out for the first month, I think it might have been a good thing, because you got a chance to integrate the back line of your bench. You got a chance to integrate PJ Tucker, Luke Mbamute, all your new pieces, Tariq Black, all those guys, and Chris Paul got a chance to watch the offense from afar, staying on the bench, And everybody got into a rhythm. So when Paul came back, you just had to integrate that one piece. And that one piece had been watching your offense for 17 games. It felt like he knew where to be on the floor at every point of the game. And he looked like he knew the rhythm of the game. Like, he played fast. He played like a fast point guard.
Yeah, I think it's totally plausible. I mean, obviously we can't know what the counter positive would have been. Like, we don't live in that universe where Chris Paul didn't get hurt, so we can't compare those two scenarios. But it definitely seems like that's totally plausible. I mean, if you have a guy on the bench watching how the offense works, what player would you rather be cerebrally dissecting this live video every single night than Chris Paul? If anybody can learn from watching, it's him. Who's, you know, he probably understands offense better than anyone in the league except somehow James Harden. Which, by the way, can we talk about these two guys who are playing together are probably the most just brilliant offensive maestros in the league right now?
Yeah, I mean, James Harden's been on another level, and I want to get to this in like a second. Another disclaimer here. I really don't want to talk about James Harden's MVP candidacy, but I feel like we kind of have to at this point. I feel like I'm jaded.
Yeah, the issue's getting forced.
Right, I think you and I are both equally jaded about talking about the MVP race and Harden. The fan base is jaded. Like, I hear a lot of that in my mentions. Like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. But, like, it's just, you kind of have to at this point, because Harden's kind of, like you said, he has forced the issue. He's been absolutely incredible. He's averaging 31 points per game on 62% true shooting, which only 2013-14 Kevin Durant has done. Like, and Kevin Durant in 2013-14 had one of the greatest offensive seasons of all time. Like, for Harden to be in that class is just, I mean, okay. And one more thing before we get into this, I want to say something to the fan base, because Harden went down in that Phoenix game, and my heart kind of skipped a beat in that game. When he went down, he bumped knees, and he was fine. Like, he came back after that quarter. Like, I just want to live. You got to enjoy this man while you have him. Like, because you never know when something's going to happen. Like, you never know when Harden, knock on wood, you know, you never know when he gets an injury, whenever he goes down and he doesn't come back up, right? Because, you know, we've had some close calls there. He's avoided injuries thus far, and you're probably not going to get another player like this for another 20 years. Like, the last player of this caliber that the Rockets had was Hakeem Olajuwon. That was 20 years ago. Like, right? Like, prime Hakeem Olajuwon was on the Houston Rockets 20 years ago, and you're probably not going to get another player for another 20 years.
Yeah,
like, that.
This is the best Rockets team. Yeah, this is the best Rockets team of the past 20 years, and probably ever. Which, right. I mean, it's a weird thing to say, but they're better than those Rockets team that won championships, because in large part, the top of the league is more competitive. This is an incredible team. Like, I've been looking for the stats on this team because I am blown away by it. And just segueing that for a minute, that this team is better than any other Rockets team we've ever watched by every advanced metric. They are, like, they, but all their single rating systems that people use, this is easily the best team the Rockets ever had, and it's also at a level that doesn't usually even happen in NBA seasons. The best team in the league is usually not as good as this Rockets team. They are, so far, you know, it's only been a quarter of a season or so, but they're as legit as it gets. They just have the bad fortune of existing at the same time as the Warriors.
No, I completely agree. Like, again, their net rating is like 8.8 or something like that. That's stupid. Like, that's just stupid. Like, they're outscoring teams by an average of basically 9 points per 100 possessions.
Do you want to know their November splits?
Go ahead, man.
All right. Their net rating is first at 16.1 in November. That is the net. Their offensive rating is 117.8. This is all from NBA.com, by the way. Different places score it differently, but this is the easiest place to find splits on. So their number one offensive rating, there's a number eight offensive rating in November at 101.7. By the way, their three-point shooting is crazy. They shoot like 53% of their shots from three-point range, which is unprecedented. This team is incredibly good. Then in November, they have been even more incredibly good than they were in October. So we'll see how this keeps going. You know, obviously you never know what's going to happen going forward. We can assume probably that they're going to keep this up with Chris Paul in there, but every game's a different adventure. We'll see how it goes. They're not going to win every single game by 15 points, but goddamn if they're not trying.
Right. I think the point you brought up about their three-point attempts is valid. And, man, like, to see Chris Paul shooting as many three-pointers as he's shooting is just weird. Because I've watched Chris Paul his whole career. He's one of my favorite players of all time. Like, a little secret about me. I watched a lot of Clippers games, more than I'm comfortable admitting. Because I'm just a huge Chris Paul fan. I've never seen him shoot three-pointers like this. Like, he's chunking it up there. Like, I'm eyeballing it. I haven't looked at the numbers. He's probably shooting around two more threes per 100 possessions than in LA, because he's getting that three ball up there. He's lowered his mid range attempts per game. He hasn't completely limited that shot from his game, which is good. He's pretty good at it. He probably shouldn't have limited that shot, but I mean, yeah, I mean the Rockets have been ridiculous these past few games. In the past nine games, They're the number one offensive rating in the league, which surprised me. They're better than the Warriors in that stretch, and the Warriors have really caught fire lately. And they're shooting 40% from the three-point line over those past nine games, which is really, really good. Like, that's sixth in the league. They're regressing the mean in terms of three-point percentage. They're right now at 35.3% from beyond the arc, which is basically right around where they were last season. And I think they can get better. I think having Chris Paul back, that's another really great three-point shooter. So I think their percentages are going to get better. And I think Ryan Harrison's going to get regress to the mean. He's a 40% career three-point shooter, basically. And he's shooting like 37%. So I think they'll get even better from there. And their defense has a lot of room to improve. And yet they're a top 10 defense.
They're top
now.
10, they're, yeah.
Right. By all metrics, Basketball Reference and NBA.com, they have climbed into the top 10 in defensive rating. And yeah. a large part of that is because they've just gotten healthy and they've gotten all their pieces back and they're starting to understand the system. And a lot, like, this is year two in Jeff Bezdelic's system and they're switching a lot more. Ryan Anderson looks really good on defense, which is weird. It's weird to say, but it just continues to be a thing.
Hey, if Kyrie Irving can do it.
Right. I mean, Kyle wrote about this on RedNationHoops.com. And I mean, you look at all the numbers. He's forcing players to shoot 28% on him in isolation. Like, people look at Ryan Anderson and their eyes light up. Like, they think they can crush this dude. And they try to ISO on him, and he usually blocks the shot or he puts a pretty good contest up there, which is, I mean, it's surprising. And he's moving his feet pretty well. The Rockets, again, they're getting healthy. Trevor Ariza, he's played most of the season, and Luke Mbamute came back from illness. Chris Paul, all NBA defender, now back on your team. He's gonna defend the point of attack, which is very important in today's NBA. And the Rockets are gonna benefit from that. That's one other quality defender, and the Rockets are gonna be deeper than they were before because of that. They have a solid nine guys now. Like, that, those worries about Mike D'Antoni not, you know, playing these guys too many heavy minutes, like, those are gone now, because now you got your solid nine: Chris Paul, James Harden, Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, Clint Capella, Nene, Eric Gordon, Luke Mbamute, and Tariq Black's somehow sneaked into the lineup, which is surprising to me. Like, he's playing third string minutes while Nene's healthy. Like, he played during that last game, which surprised me. Yeah, this team's been on a crazy stretch.
Hey folks, Dave DeFore of On the NBA with Dave DeFore here. I'd like to talk to you about my friends over at Harry's, my go-to razor for a smooth, close, and comfortable shave. Almighty Baller Radio is the go-to network for NBA podcasts, but if you visit harrys.com/ballers, you'll get a free trial set from Harry's and find out why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, with top quality blades made in a German factory with over 100 years of blade making experience. You get a close, clean shave every time, 100% guaranteed, and at half the price of the leading 5-blade razor. So go to harrys.com/ballers, B-A-L-L-E-R-S, today. You'll get the free trial kit that has become my personal go-to every morning. A weighted, ergonomic razor handle. 5 precision-engineered blade with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. A $13 value, this is all yours for free when you sign up, just by covering the cost of shipping. You're supporting the network here at Almighty Baller, but you're also making a great decision for yourself. The decision to find out how Harry's has fixed shaving for the ordinary guy. Check out that URL, harrys.com/ballers. One more time, that's harrys.com/ballers to receive a free trial shave set for just the cost of shipping.
But back to the MVP race thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk about this, but like, we just gotta appreciate what we're seeing right now from Harden. Like, this is a once in a generational offensive talent. Like, one of the best years Harden's ever. This is the best I've ever seen Harden play. This is apex.
Yeah, it's like you know, in the Matrix where Neo can just like look at the walls and things and just see all the code. It's like Harden has
everything
got to
slowed
that point.
Down.
Yeah, it's like Harden's got to that point. He can see the lines between realities or something. He understands offense in a way that really no one else in the league does. It's unbelievable. He doesn't make the most crazy passes. Like, if you look at Chris Paul, the actual passes themselves, like, just the immediate moment of that pass is usually more impressive, right? He'll throw a crisper pass than Harden will, and that's often that's more flashy. But Harden sets up the offense to succeed every time, from step 1 to step 50. No one is better at picking apart a defense than James Harden is. It's amazing to watch. Like, he plays not solely based on his athletic gifts, because he's not really that exceptional for an NBA player in that aspect. Like, he's just some kind of mad genius. He is absolutely the MVP so far. There is really no argument to be had anymore. This over the past week or so, you know, everyone who talks about the league has started to talk about this here and there, and there is no debate. Everyone knows he's the MVP so far, and I actually think that Chris Paul being missing for the first season in a weird way could actually help a potential James Harden MVP campaign, such as it is, which I think would be waged by not so much by Rockets Twitter, who, as you've noted, have largely given up on the idea of him ever winning MVP and just kind of don't want to talk about it. But it's been primed.
They're talking about it right now.
Yeah, doing like, it now. There's no choice. You have to.
I haven't caved yet. Like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I refuse. I said this last season. I'm not going to campaign for him. I'll talk about him on this podcast, because that's our responsibility. Like, it would be irresponsible to talk about James Harden's MVP candidacy on a Rockets podcast. But I'm not going to do it on Twitter. I'm not subjecting myself to that headache again. Like,
he doesn't need anybody to campaign for him, though. It's just self-evident.
Right, he's been ridiculous. He's clearly, again, I agree with you. He's clearly been the MVP of this first 20 games. And yeah, it's early, but I mean, do you really see this slowing down? Like, do you really see Harden? Like, he's shooting ridiculous from the three-point line.
He'll play a few less minutes. He'll get less counting stats a little bit. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, like, his efficiency is, like, the best it's ever been. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess Harden's suddenly an elite three-point shooter, which is weird. Like, he's, like before, when Harden shot like, pull-up threes, it was a bad shot. Now it's just, like, man, he's going to make, like, half of those.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going 6-for-12, like, every other night now. Like, it's so weird, but it's happening. Like, he's shooting a bunch more three-pointers, and he's actually more efficient at it now, which is so strange. It's so, so strange that he just, at age 28, he's 28, right?
Yeah, I think he's 28 this season.
Yeah, at age 28, he suddenly chose to become a better three-point shooter. That's so weird to me.
Well, we got three possibilities here. One is that it's just kind of a hot stretch, which it's with three-point shooting, you can never rule that one out. Any stretch just be unusual, no matter how long it is. That's probably part of it. Also, it's possible that he's getting better quality of three-point looks, which with Chris Paul out there will increasingly be the case, I think. And the third possibility is that he just worked like a maniac over the offseason and just really drilled his three-pointers in a big way. It's probably a combination of all three of those things.
Right, like, there's a possibility that he could hit this hard regression month, right? Like, that happens a lot with three-point shooting, where you just shoot, like, 28% for a month and your percentage is
level
out.
Yeah, but they had
that
for the first month.
Right. I mean, yeah. And I'm in reference to James Harden, like, I don't want to eliminate it, man. Like, he could go for the rest of November, he could shoot like 20% from the 3-point line. But I mean, every game that like, I'm waiting for a regression. Like the last two games before this game in Memphis, like I thought they were gonna regress. Harden was gonna regress pretty hard because he shot pretty terribly those in Phoenix and in Toronto and the game before that. And then he just the last two games he's just shot like amazingly from beyond the arc. And again, we don't know with 3-point shooting. Again, like you said, it's very tricky. This could very much be a hot stretch. It's only been 20 games, but I mean, he's shooting it so confidently, and he's shooting it like I've never seen him shoot it. Like his stroke looks really nice, and he's gonna get better quality looks with Chris Paul out there. He's gonna get more catch and shoot opportunities. And I found this neat stat from Kelly Scaletta about like. Every time he passes to three point shooters, they shoot 5% better from three, which is strange, right? But it's true. Like he's getting guys open looks, and those guys are shooting better off his passes than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, he is very good at making sure guys are in the right place and in the right situation to score very well. I don't think this is going to really change very much, honestly. I think that especially as they're shooting more and more threes per game, that's how you even these things out. Like the higher number, the higher volume you shoot, the more your numbers become less volatile, and that's what they want. Weirdly, they don't want as much volatility right now because they're very good. They want to play to their strengths and even it out. They want to shoot enough threes such that if they have like a shooting slump of like five shots or something, it'll pass as well. So, and I think that's what you're seeing too. They're getting their points. Even during his games where they score 8,000 points, there are still some shooting slumps in there. Like against the Grizzlies the other day, the Grizzlies had a 15-0 run when the Rockets just couldn't hit anything. It didn't matter.
Right. Like again, when you shoot that many threes, it evens out in the end. They just outmatch teams like all the time. I think you wrote about this in their last game, right? Like it's just a math problem for everybody, man. Like when they hit their threes. It's over, and even when they don't hit their threes, they're shooting so many of them that their percentage, I mean, it really doesn't matter at that point because again, that's still you're still shooting enough 3-pointers to where the other team just can't keep up, and the Rockets have enough quality shooters to where they'll make you pay for points in the game, and it's just too much for teams to handle.
Yeah, they're bending and breaking defenses. And it's really amazing to see. It's pretty wild right now in the NBA. We have the Rockets, which are some kind of otherworldly offense, and the Celtics, who are somehow some kind of otherworldly defense at the same time. And I really cannot wait to see those teams play against each other. I want to see what that looks like.
They're the inverse of each other, huh?
They really are. In fact, if you look at a BPI on ESPN, they're like literally the inverse of each other in terms of like offensive and defensive scores. Don't make the MVP case. It isn't necessary. Don't worry about who's going to win the MVP. You can't control it.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, man. Just enjoy how good he is.
Right. Like, and that's what that's what I've been trying to do this year. He's just been kind of a treasure, man. It is a real possibility. This is going to be the best Rockets player of my lifetime. And you just have to enjoy that. Because you're never going to, instead of trashing him on the radio for game six or making jokes about it, forget his flaws. Enjoy what he's really, really freaking good at, which is everything else, right? Like, everything else, every other aspect of the game, of the defense, he's incredible at. And it's just a marvel. It's really fun to watch because, he does stuff. There was a lob play in that Grizzlies game where the defenders were all up on Harden and Capella. They were in transition too, and I don't know how the hell Harden got this ball up. I'll tweet this after we record the podcast. But I don't know how the hell he got this ball up in transition, but he did, and it connected on a Capella lob. And he does stuff like that every game, where it's just how? Only two or three players in the NBA make the kind of passes he does: LeBron, Chris Paul, and James Harden. And two of those three guys are on the Rockets.
Yeah, this team and their star are unbelievable, which is, I don't know, I think this season especially, people always get touchy about their teams, want to defend their teams. There is no reason to, defend on Twitter this Rockets team. What's even the point? All you need to just watch a team and enjoy it. If someone doesn't like the Rockets, that's fine. You can watch Rockets beat that team. They're incredibly good. They don't need anybody to like defend them. They're doing a perfectly good job on their own. So just have fun with it and don't worry about any of the other stuff. Just enjoy the amazing show we're watching every single night and try to pick it apart the same way that Harden and Chris Paul pick apart other teams' defenses. Heyo.
I had them at 54 wins going into the season. Right now they're on pace to destroy that prediction. And you know, rightfully so. I mean, they deserve it. They've played excellent on offense and defense, and right now they're clearly one of the best teams in the NBA, which brings me to my next point. People need to start showing up in this game, man. These games, yeah, like it's really, really annoying how bad the Rockets look on television. Like I watch every game. I go to the arena. I see it in person, and nobody, like especially the lower bowl. I don't know what's going on with the Rockets. Like it's been a thing for 2 years now, 2 or 3 years now. The Rockets just can't seem to fill up the arena, and I'm not sure if it's ticket prices or if it's fans showing up late to the games, but if it's fans showing up late to the games, get in your seat, man. Like, I don't get why would you show up late to this game? Like, just, like, they're a damn good basketball team, and they look really bad when you're not in your seat before the game.
Yeah, I was especially, speaking of the fans, a similar note, in that game against Cleveland, it seemed like half the audience was LeBron James fans, which is fine. LeBron James is a great guy, but come on, don't cheer for the other team in your own home. That's just, that really disappointed me. That really pissed me off. I did not like that at all. I did not understand why Houston fans were sitting there cheering for LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Every time I'd look away and I'd hear like a cheer for a ref call, I would say, oh, that must have gone Houston's way. But no, it would go Cleveland's way. Houston fans are not really acquitting themselves particularly well right now. Maybe once everyone finally gives up on the Texans and there's not any Astros games being played, a few of them will show up.
Hold on. And I'm going to get on my soapbox here. That's why they should be rooting for this team, man. The Texans are awful. They're an awful organization. They're awfully managed. Here's why I need to calm down a little bit. But they need to give up on the Texans, man. Like what have the Texans given you over the past 10 years to rally behind them year after year after year and sell out that arena? Like I don't get it. Like I don't get why the city can't rally around the Rockets. It makes no sense to me. Like it makes absolutely no sense to me. Like the Rockets are really, really freaking good. They have not one but two superstars right now, and usually that's enough to fill out an arena. And people are making jokes about the Rockets fan base, man. And I know that the Rockets fans are passionate. I hear them I see them on Twitter. Like they have one of the best online communities out of any NBA team in the NBA. Like they have one of the best, and they just don't show up, man. Like the numbers back this up. Basketball Reference says they're 28th. ESPN.com says they're 15th or 16th. They should be in the top 10, man. At least.
Yeah, at least.
This team is too good to not warrant your attention and to fill the seat. Like, get in your damn seat for the game.
I know Houston is full of people who can afford those expensive lower bowl tickets.
Right. Like, I don't want to get, like, you know, I don't want to seem like it should be a no-brainer to afford those tickets, right? Like, it's obviously very expensive.
Yeah, I don't go lower bowl, but I'm poor.
right. I mean, and at the same time, like, the Rockets need to be doing something about this too, right? Like, this has been an ongoing problem. Like, $1 hot dogs aren't going to solve anything, man. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it didn't work in the playoffs, and it's probably not going to work in the regular season. Like, you guys have to find a way to fill this arena. Like, this is just, it's completely embarrassing for the Rockets. And frankly, for a team that's this good, it's just unacceptable. Like, I was listening to The Open Floor, which is an SI podcast about the NBA. And they were just clowning the Rockets home court. The Rockets legitimately don't have like a home court advantage because of how empty the arena is. Like, that's unacceptable, man. It's just, I don't know, man. It makes me angry, especially since the Rockets are one of the best managed teams in town, one of the most exciting teams in town. They play a brand of basketball which is really, really fun to watch. They shoot a lot of threes. They get to the paint like nearly every other possession. Like, this should be a fun team to watch, and yet the arena is empty every freaking day.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. I don't really understand why it is. It's such a good team. I don't know why people aren't more loyal to it. Like, when have they lost all this fan base. Like, what did they do? Is it just that they don't play in the Summit anymore? Like, I don't understand how they went from being so beloved to being just another has-run team, like, in the city of Houston. Other cities don't have this problem. Only, like, Miami. Like, I don't get it. Why Orlando or Oakland was able to keep Oracle Arena filled up with people even during the worst period of the Warriors. So there's really no excuse for Houston not to have more people at these games.
Right, and like the facility is good, man. Like I've been to the Toyota Center several times. It's only like 10 or 12 years old. Like it's a really really good facility. And you know, like everything about it, like nothing about that arena is deteriorating. Like it's a fairly new arena, and I don't understand why it's not getting packed every night. It's just weird because I don't know. And I realize traffic on 59 is bad, but that's no excuse not to show up to the game. Set aside an hour to get to the game. Like it shouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, they got to get more people in seats. Well, maybe they'll just have to. I mean, we'll see what it takes to get people to pay attention to them. I don't know if anything short of a championship would do it, so we'll see.
Is it really that the Rockets are giving out too many of these corporate seats? Is that the problem?
Maybe. I mean, those kind of seats typically people don't end up in because that's what corporate seats are like. They just use them as like, you know, treats or incentives for their employees and stuff. So you've seen them be pretty open. Maybe they just need to start charging way less for those seats that are on camera. You know which seats they're going to be. Fill those ones up.
Right. Like, it's frustrating because I know the fan base is strong. Like I see it every day. You know, like I know they're passionate. Like I know they love their Rockets. They just don't show up to the games, and they're not loud enough when they're there either. Like it's frankly embarrassing to the franchise. It's a real problem, and they need to find a way to fix it. The best teams in the league have really good audiences. Even the Heat, when people made fun of the Heat in their heyday, like even they managed to fill up their arena. Right, they were just a late arriving crowd. Like even this is a late arriving crowd. Even when they show up, they're not there. Like it's a late arriving crowd that's not really a late arriving crowd. Like that's just a crutch.
Yeah, it's no good. It's the worst thing at the Rockets easily.
Yeah, it's. It's one thing that frustrates me to this day. Like, and I see them on League Pass and I see them in person. It's so glaring that I don't know why it hasn't been like a bigger issue for the Rockets. Like, why aren't they prioritizing getting people in that arena? But yeah, it's I guess it's above our pay grade, man. Yeah, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Follow us on Twitter @RedNationHoops and follow us on Twitter @DoNuts. And yeah, guys, good night.